very familiar passage of Scripture. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sitters in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about being rooted and grounded tonight. Jesus, we thank you for your word, and I pray, God, that you'd help us to be rooted and grounded in you. Help us to be rooted and grounded in love. I pray, God, that you would let there be a foundation that will not be shaken, and help us to make up our minds, Lord, that we're going to live for you all the days of our life, and that we're going to go to heaven along with our family and as many others as we could take with us. We're looking forward to it, Jesus. In your name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Somebody say there's a shaking in the making. There's a shaking in the making. We know from the Word of God that there is going to be a shaking. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And God allows this to show the things that will remain. We're seeing it all around. We're seeing it in politics, in society, in economics, in families. We're seeing it in the church. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. But I've come to declare tonight by the word of the Lord that through everything being shaken around us, though there might be trouble on every side, and though the foundations of this world may tremble, though it seems that everything and everybody be shaken, I tell you, there's one thing that's certain, and that is that God is not shaken. God is not shaken. God is not in trouble. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no shadow of turning with Him. I tell you, I have hope tonight to declare that every one of us here, if we'll be rooted and grounded in the things of God, then we will remain through the shaking. And oh, there's a shaking in the making. That's true. But there are some things that will not be shaken. That's where we want to be. That's where we want to build our lives, our families, our existence, so that we may remain. Praise the Lord. Is anybody determined that you're going to remain? You're going to be planted like that tree by the rivers of water. Hallelujah. You're going to be rooted and grounded. Amen. I don't want anything to shake me loose from the things of God. Last week we taught on being rooted and grounded in love. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we will plant ourselves in Christ, if we will be rooted and grounded in His love, if we will surround our lives and our families with the love of God, so much so that we become the love of Christ even to others, and His love flows through our lives, I believe that we will remain. We will remain a steady part of the kingdom of God. Tonight, we're going to look at what it means to be rooted and grounded in truth. In truth. Let's look together at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 through 16. Before this book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, Paul's letters were directed to churches. Of course, to Romans and the others, but Then there are some particular letters to ministers, 2 to Timothy, 1 to Titus, another to Philemon. We don't know much about Philemon. We know he had a church that was in his own house and perhaps was involved in other churches. Here in Paul's writing to Timothy, he addresses him as his son in the faith. His son in the faith. And the book of 1 Timothy, it was a phenomenal leadership book before leadership books were even a thing. But the great apostle Paul is here. He's imparting wisdom to his son in the faith, who was working to perfect the church in Ephesus that Paul had begun. And so Paul pours out his heart. He writes about principles of Christian living. He covers the qualifications of someone who wants to be a leader. He gives Timothy valuable advice for a young pastor. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, we read, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified of the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." It would do us all well to read 1 Timothy now and again so that, as Paul said, we know how to behave in the house of God. Amen. Paul says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It is the pillar and ground, the foundation of the truth. Now, we know that the Bible does not depend upon the church. It doesn't get its authority from the church. It's the Word of God. But the church does proclaim the truth. Amen. And we proclaim this doctrine of Jesus Christ, and this is a pillar that we cling to. As Christians, we ought to be faithful. We ought to be pillars. We ought to maintain and hold up and declare the truth of Jesus Christ to all the world. Paul wrote to Galatians, about James and Cephas and John, and he said that they were recognized as pillars in the church. Oh, to be a pillar in the house of God. To be established, to be standing on truth and declaring truth and living by truth. To be a pillar in the house of God. I believe that tragically today, our world is asking, just like Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? What is truth? What does that mean? How sad when truth has been so trampled in the dust. How did we get here? How did we get to this point in society? Even simple honesty is missing in today's world. It's not a big deal to tell a white lie. If it advances your cause, if it helps you out, this world doesn't think twice about stretching the truth. Dr. Adrian Rogers, the late pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, discussed the sad stage that America finds itself in. He said, "It is because we have lost the concept of absolute God-given truth." A great way to say that. What does God's Word say about this? Isaiah chapter 59, verse 14. Look at this. It says, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil make himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment." So in other words, the scripture, it says, judgment is turned back, and justice stands afar off, and truth is fallen in the streets. goes on to say equity can't enter. In other words, honesty can't even enter. It's been pushed away. What a traffic jam this describes. Truth is fallen. And I believe that describes our world today. Truth is fallen. And the Lord is displeased. I tell you, every day truth suffers attack by professors of philosophy in our universities, by dishonest politicians, by people who don't know the Word of God. Truth is under attack by preachers who have strayed from it or have twisted truth for their own personal gain. Truth has fallen in the streets. But truth is still truth. Truth is still truth. And just because society doesn't recognize it and seeks to undermine it and divert our attention away from it, truth is still truth. Reject it all they want to. Just as God is eternal, so is His Word. Psalms 119 and 89 is still true. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Amen. Psalms 105 still stands. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Are you thankful for the Word of God? Are you thankful for this truth, this wonderful truth? Praise the Lord. Amen. Our job is not to establish truth. It's already been established. It's already been done. It's already been settled. Truth endures to all generations. We've just got to know this truth. We've got to apply it in our lives, and we've got to share it with others. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John 8:32 declares, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Every single one of us here tonight, one day we were bound by sin. We were once bound by our flesh. We were bound by the mindset of this world. We were confused. We were deceived. We were flat out lost. But there was a day, there was something about this truth. There was something that started to work on our hearts. There was something that moved upon our minds. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hey, there's nothing greater. There's nothing more tremendous, amen, for a life that's conflicted and confused and trapped in the trouble of this world, and they begin to see truth. It's like coming out of a dark room and the sun breaks into their life. There's nothing like truth. Can you remember when that light bulb went off in your world and you started to realize, hey, there's some things here that I've never seen before. There's some things I need to do. I didn't ever know I was supposed to do those things, but I see it for myself. Praise the Lord. It was a foundation to build on, and truth made you free. Praise the Lord. Isn't it something how scientific theories have long stood against the truth of God's Word? But again and again and again, science has just proven God's Word to be true. Man once believed the world was flat. Some still do. there was a boy that was friends with Colt in school, and we're glad that he made a good friend, but anyway, his family belonged to this flat earth society or something like that, and he was trying to convince Colt that the earth was flat, and Colt just determined he's not even going to be friends with that guy, because if he thinks that, you know. People may declare the world is flat, but the Bible speaks about the circle of the earth. Man once thought there was only about 2,000 stars in the heavens. But the Bible speaks of innumerable stars. Man once thought that the moon was a light itself that shone. But the Bible declares that the moon shineth not. Isn't that something? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This Bible, this truth, this wisdom, it was written by holy men of God as they were moved by the Spirit of God. It was written long before science has advanced to where it is today. But time after time, the Bible has been proven to be true. It is a more sure word of prophecy. We're not against science. We don't reject education. But in all of man's wisdom, we've got to understand there's something that's more sure. There is something that is tried and tested. There is something that is more stable. And that's the Word of God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40:8 affirms that the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. What God's Word declares is already established. We are anchored in the Word of God. Calvary is unalterable. Jesus Christ already died. We don't have to count on anything else. That is our salvation. He already shed His blood. Nobody can go and undo what He did already. He's already been buried. He's already resurrected. He already ascended to heaven. He already poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's already settled. That's already in effect. And furthermore, His Word declares that He's going to come back. That He's coming back for a church, for a bride who has prepared themselves and made themselves ready, and nothing is going to stop that. Hey, call us crazy, call us Bible thumpers, call us politically correct and incorrect and old-fashioned and all of that, but our future's not hanging on something that's not proven. Our future's hanging on the Word that's forever settled. Hallelujah. It's already been established. Don't be discouraged. Don't you fear tonight. The church is not going down. The church is not going down. The church is going up. And I want to be a part of the church. I want to be a part of Jesus Christ's church. Amen, amen. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23 brings us such wisdom. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not. Get truth and don't you sell it for any price. Buy the truth and never sell it. Whatever it cost you, buy this truth. Whatever the lie of the enemy is, talking about things that you're going to have to give up, you buy this truth. Whatever the battle, whatever the struggle, whatever the hardship, don't you dare sell this truth. You buy the truth and sell it not. How many times has someone not realized what they had and they sold it very cheaply? Some of them later realized their mistake. Can you imagine? Others maybe never realized it. What they parted with so cheap. You see, people today, they no longer follow things because they're true. They're looking for something that's going to tickle their ear. Something that'll make them feel good. They don't really want something that's going to make them change their way of living. Just tell them they can go to heaven like they are. Don't step on my toes, preacher. Just tell them a little bedtime story and just kind of soothe my emotions. And pastor, don't give me both barrels. Water it down a little. Make it a little easier to digest. We don't want to change. We don't want to feel conviction. Just compromise a little, they say, so we can feel good about living the way that we want to. But I tell you tonight, half-truth is not the truth. Half-truth is not the truth. Partial truth is not the full truth. There's no place of compromise with truth. It's either the whole truth or it's not truth. People are not saved with half-truth. Cornelius had to have the whole truth. It didn't matter that Cornelius was a good man. It wasn't enough that he believed in God. It wasn't enough that he gave his tithes and offerings. It wasn't enough that he fasted and prayed. He still had to be born again. He had to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. He had to still be baptized in the name of the Lord. Half-truth doesn't save anybody. Buy the truth and sell it not. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought. If you're riding the fence tonight, if you're trying to decide if it's worth it or not to give Jesus Christ everything, if you're trying to weigh all the options and whether you're going to go all in or you're just going to go in a little at a time, I tell you, the reward is for those who with joy, they give it everything they've got. They decide, I'm going to jump in with both feet. I'm going to live this truth with everything I have. Buy the truth and sell it not. Come on, make up a commitment tonight. Make a commitment to God. I'm tired of listening to all the opinions of the world. I want to listen to what God says. And I'm going to live by truth. And I'm going to be steadfast. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our text tonight in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, describes the righteous. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Verse 4 says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. A lot of times we miss what some of this is saying because we don't understand the customs and practices of that day. John the Baptist, he prepared the way for Jesus Christ, and reading in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He goes on, he says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John said Jesus was going to separate chaff from the wheat. When crops of grain had been harvested, they would take them and they would tie them into bundles. And they would carry them and take them to the threshing floor. Many times the threshing floor would belong to the whole village, and it would be a circular patch of very hard ground. They would take those bundles of grain and they would scatter them and spread them out on that threshing floor. And then the grain would be beaten with sticks, or possibly it would be trampled with oxen. Sometimes they would use a wooden board with some type of weight, heavy weights of iron or of stone, and they would drag it over the harvest. The oxen would drag it so it would break up the grain from the stalk. And then after the threshing, that precious grain was still mixed in with all the chaff. It was a mess, and there was the husk and the pieces of straw. And then the farmer would separate the chaff from the grain. He would take something, it would be maybe like our pitchfork today, and he would take it and he would take that pitchfork, that winnowing fork it was called, and he'd take it and he'd throw it all up into the air. Because the grain was heavy, it would fall back down to the threshing floor. But the chaff was light, and the breeze would blow it away. And John the Baptist used this picture to describe the work that Jesus would do. The work not with grain, but with people. In that he would separate the good from the evil. He would separate the grain from the chaff. How can we be sure that we're part of the wheat and not part of the chaff tonight? How may we be sure that we're producing fruit that is going to remain in all of the shaking that comes? First of all, we've got to hear the truth. We've got to hear the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Verse 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Why did God choose preaching? I don't know. Why did God say this is going to be the method for reaching the lost? It seems like foolishness to this world, but it pleases God to save people through the foolishness of preaching. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Thank God for a preacher that preached to us. Amen. Thank God. God, that He sent somebody to preach the gospel of truth to our life. Thank God, maybe it was your father, your mother, maybe it was a grandparent way back there somewhere, but somewhere there was a preacher that preached the truth, that said, this is what you've got to do to be saved. And somebody came to an altar, and somebody repented of their sins, and somebody was baptized and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for a preacher that preached to our life. Amen, amen. It is my prayer that preaching of truth would never be silenced. Let it never be silenced in this church. Let it never be silenced in this city. Oh, come on, we need to have more preaching than ever. Let there be more preaching of truth than ever before. Let the Holy Ghost and fire ignite this city. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Without it, souls can't be saved. We must hear the truth. Jesus spoke of people who had ears but would not hear. We must not only hear the truth, we must receive the truth. If we refuse to receive it, we can't be saved. If we choose to harden our hearts, then the seed of the Word of God can't find a place in our heart. A rebellious spirit can cause a person to refuse God's Word. In Hebrews 3:15, "While it is said, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." That word provocation, it means rebellion. "For some, when they had heard, did provoke," or did rebel. "Howbeit, not all that come out of Egypt by Moses." There's going to be some, when they hear the truth, they'll harden their heart. They resist the truth, just like the Israelites in rebellion hardened their hearts against the one who had brought them out of Egypt. I tell you, that's a warning to us today. Don't be like the stony ground. Don't be like the stony ground or the ground of the wayside that does not receive the Word of God, that resists and rejects the truth. It's important to keep our hearts tender, to keep our hearts open to the Word of God. We always need to be eager to hear whatever He would say to our lives. We must receive the truth if we're going to be saved. And number three, we must obey the truth. We must obey the truth. We should be listening for God's Word in our life, and we should be quick to obey. If God speaks to us, we need to be quick to obey. Praise the Lord. God is forced to reject those who refuse His Word. It's not always easy to see the signs of an unbelieving heart right away. But I tell you, an evil and an unbelieving heart, it will affect us. Sometimes it's like the tares that have been sown in with the wheat. God may not reveal it until the very end, but there can be tares in along with the wheat. And it's a false harvest. It may look like wheat. It may seem like wheat, but there's no grain there. We can't always see the signs of an unbelieving heart right at first, but an evil heart rejects truth. It questions the Word of God. It does not obey the truth. Paul wrote in Galatians 5 and 7, he says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" He said, "You were doing so good. You were running this race so well. What happened? Who hindered you?" We can't let anyone or anything hinder us from obeying this truth. If we're going to be saved, we got to be obedient to the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans 2 and 8 reads, "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God." Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter to God if we're a Jew or a Gentile. Amen. It doesn't matter what side of town we've come from. Amen. It doesn't matter if we speak English or another language. It doesn't matter the color of our skin. It doesn't matter our place of birth, our nationality. None of that matters to God. What matters to God is, did we obey His Word? Hallelujah. And if so, there's going to be glory and honor and peace. If we're going to be like the wheat and not the chaff, we've got to obey the truth. Praise the Lord. And I believe there's one more. We must share the truth. We need to share the truth. How shall they hear without a preacher? Oh, but Pastor, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a preacher. I want to tell you, you are a preacher. Your life is preaching a loud message. Amen. Your life, by your example, by your lifestyle, by your speech, by what you share with others, everywhere we go, let the gospel be preached by our lives far and wide. Amen. We must always be ready to give an answer of the hope that is in this, in us, the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must hear the truth. We've got to receive the truth. We've got to obey the truth. And I believe we've got to share this precious truth with others. Praise the Lord. How many of your friends, how many of those that you meet, how many of your coworkers, how many of those that they're building their lives on shifting sand? And in the end, all the work that they've gone to building this life, it's going to be destroyed. Their family's going to fall apart. They're going to lose sons and daughters to drugs and to the things of this world. They're going to be lost for eternity without the truth that is in us. You have the answer that they need. You have the salvation that they're looking for. You have the promise of God, the solution, the magic pill. We've got to share this truth with others. Don't keep it for yourself and not tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we've got to be rooted and grounded in truth. The truth has to be declared. The truth has to be heard, it has to be received, it has to be obeyed, it has to be shared with others. Let's be rooted and grounded in truth. Praise the Lord. I'm going to cover here tonight quickly some fundamental truths that we must all be anchored in. First of all, a fundamental truth, the inspiration of Scripture. The Word of God is not just man's writings. It's not just a product of some kind of made-up religion. It is inspired by God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Thank God for His Word. Then there's the oneness of God. The oneness of God. From the very beginning, all of Israel, since their existence, knew that God was one. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's one God of heaven. He's the Lord of all. He is a spirit, but then He was made manifest in flesh. But it was still the same spirit. And now He lives in our hearts, but it's still that same one Spirit. There's just one God, and He's revealed as Father, as Son, as the Holy Ghost, but there's just one God. Paul must have been led by the Holy Ghost to know that there'd be a lot of confusion in our world today about the oneness of God. That's why he wrote in Colossians 2 and 8, he said, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Amen, amen. When we get to heaven, there's going to be one that we see on the one throne. It's going to be Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The oneness of the Godhead is a fundamental truth. The divinity of Jesus. It's a fundamental truth. John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Verse 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not." Verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Aren't you thankful you know who Jesus is? Aren't you thankful you know who Jesus is? Hallelujah, Jesus is God. Amen, amen. I want to thank God for His Word. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. And that Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us." And I want to tell you, His Spirit is alive and well inside of us. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Praise the Lord. And we must never lose hold of the atoning death of Christ. His death really meant something. His perfect sinless blood was shed for us to save us from our sins. Romans chapter 5, verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners." Amen. Christ died for us. "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Salvation in every age, think about this, salvation in every age has depended on the atoning death of Jesus Christ. He is the only sacrifice that could remit sin. And His death atoned for the sins of all the ages. The Old Testament saints, they were saved by faith in God's future plan. The New Testament saints, they were saved by God's past plan of atonement. The atoning death of Jesus Christ, it is important. Another fundamental truth is justification by faith. To be justified means to be counted righteous by God. There's many places the Bible it tells us the just shall live by faith. No one can be justified by ourselves. We're counted righteous not because of our good works. The only way to salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for us. On the day of Pentecost, the crowd asked the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The keeper of the prison asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And through the centuries, many people have asked this same question about the fundamental truth of salvation. How can I be saved? I don't think there's a greater question out there. How can I be saved? Every human being is a sinner, and we all need salvation. And it only comes through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." How we are saved? It's through repentance of sin. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ that leads to water baptism, which is being born of the water, and the baptism of the Spirit, which is being born of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. There's no other way to be saved than the Bible plan of salvation. I'm thankful for this plan of salvation. It's a fundamental truth. Hallelujah. Sanctification. Sanctification. It's a fundamental truth. Sanctification literally means separation. Separation. Separation from sin and consecration to God. Sanctification is the process of us becoming like Jesus Christ. See, salvation is just the start. It's just the beginning. But God continues to work in us to make us perfect, to make us holy. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." We're a vessel. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And salvation, it happens at the new birth, but we've got to keep the vessel clean. We've got to keep the vessel holy. Literally, we could say about sanctification, "I am being saved. God is working in me." Amen. He's working to produce a perfect man and a perfect woman. I'm not there yet, but God's working on me. This last fundamental truth that we'll cover tonight is one that's not accepted by many in this world. There's even many in religious circles who have rejected it. But the future punishment of the wicked is a fundamental truth. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." I tell you, there's really going to be a punishment for those who are not saved according to the plan of salvation. We read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The Bible warns of uncertainty in the world, of the shaking that is going to come. I tell you, we can't change that. The shaking is going to come. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But our hope today is not in this world. Our hope is in some fundamental truths from the Word of God. And there is one fundamental truth that we all want to realize here today, that there is coming a day of judgment. There is coming a day of reckoning where God is going to judge. I tell you today, I want to be ready, and I want to live according to the Word of God, so that I am not written out of eternal life and cast into the lake of fire, but I want to have my name written in the book of life. Praise the Lord. If we live by truth, then our name is going to be written in that eternal book, and we will always be saved in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Truth matters. Truth is important. What we preach and what we teach and what we believe, it matters. It matters. If we're going to stand in the evil day, if we're going to fight the enemy, we've got to be rooted and grounded in truth. I'm quickly coming to a close. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Do you feel like there's a shaking going on in your world? Well, let's take on the armor of God that we may be able to withstand, and having done all, to stand. Sometimes all you can do is just stand. Isn't it interesting that truth is mentioned first in the armor of God? Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. If there's a shaking going on, then having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having on the belt of truth. I want to tell you, truth is a foundation that's going to last. And when we're rooted and grounded in truth, it's something that's been forever settled. And it's going to stand the test of time. Would you stand with me here tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One of the most sobering portions of Scripture is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. How incredibly heartbreaking that someone would not receive the love of the truth. And that God sends them a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. Sometimes we've all seen people throughout our lives who have left the truth and now they're just completely lost. There's no other explanation sometimes than that must not have received the love of the truth. And they were deceived. They thought they were doing right, but they were deceived. We've got to pray, Lord, gird me about with truth. Wrap truth around me. Let truth keep us from lies and from error. If we're deceived in any way, God, if we're deceived, if our heart's deceived, if our mind's deceived, then Lord, open our eyes, open our heart. Help us know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. I tell you, sometimes you just need to just open the Word of God and you need to place it across your heart and say, God, I thank you for truth. I thank you for truth, Lord. Come on, if you're troubled at night sometimes and can't go to sleep, just lay there and just open the Bible and just thank the Lord for truth and feel the peace that comes from His Word that's forever settled in heaven. If you have thoughts that are plaguing your mind, thoughts of fear, perverse thoughts, things of the enemy that are plaguing your mind, open the Word of God and just thank Him for truth. I tell you, thoughts of this world, thoughts of perverseness, it cannot stand against the holiness of the truth of God. You thank God for the truth. You hide it in your heart. You live according to this truth. It will stand the test of time. We've got to be rooted and grounded in truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you take the hand of somebody? Would you put your arm around somebody? Pray, God, help us, Lord. Help us, God, to be rooted and grounded in truth. Lord, I want to receive this truth. I don't want to reject this truth. I pray, God, that you would help us to live by truth. Help us to proclaim this truth, God. Let us obey the truth. In Jesus' name, Lord, get a hold of us here tonight. Lord, let truth reign in our lives. Lord, let truth be first and foremost. In Jesus' name, thank you, God, for truth. Thank you, God, for truth. Oh, God, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for your word that's forever settled. We thank you, Lord, for this lamp unto our feet, this light unto our path.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to live by truth, Lord. We're going to teach it to our children. We're going to preach it all everywhere we can. We're going to preach this gospel. We're going to live by this truth. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Is anybody here, you just say, I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to resist it. I'm going to receive the truth. I'm going to love the truth. Amen. I'm going to live by truth. It's greater than me. It's greater than anything in this world. It's a foundation that will remain. I've got to be rooted and grounded in truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. We need to know the truth. Amen. You need to study the Word of God. If you don't ever read it, if we don't ever study it, if we don't ever memorize it, then the enemy comes and sows his lies of doubt and fear, and we just believe it. But when we know the truth, it sets us free from lies and doubt and fear. Praise the Lord. You can quote the word right back at the devil. Amen. God bless you tonight. I'm thankful for truth. I want this church to be a church that preaches truth, that never strays from truth. Amen. God help us. God help us to always be grounded and rooted in truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Have a great evening. Again, be careful going out in our parking lot.